We thank you, Lord, for victory in Jesus. We thank you for your grace and mercy to us every day. We thank you, Lord, that you are our righteousness. You are our Redeemer, our Savior. Hallelujah. We are yours and you are mine. We thank you, Lord, for today. We pray you bless this time now in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning to our 10:30 service. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us here today, we're honored to have you. Find your place in your Bible in Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2. These days, we're looking at the great promises of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, our King, and the promises he made to the church. These various churches that are mentioned in Revelation 2 and 3, there are seven of them. They're historic churches, but the same things that were going on in these churches happen in churches all over the globe today. I remind you that there are people worshiping and serving the Lord Jesus. There are churches of the Lord Jesus all over the globe. And so we pray for them and think about them today in their various conditions as we think about these words. Revelation chapter number 2, beginning in verse 17. And then while you're there, now you've got your place there, if you'll just keep your place and also look at 2 Peter, just a few pages back, and mark a place, because I'll have us look there toward the end of my time speaking to you in 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 10 and 11. 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 10 and 11. And I'll read both of these passages to us now at this time. Now these words are the Lord Jesus' words, first of all, specifically to the Pergamum church. Revelation 2, chapter 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, and we looked at this last week, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows but he who has received it. Let's read it again. Revelation 2:17. I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone which no one knows but he who receives it. Now, if you'll also keep your place there, go to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter's drawing a conclusion here to the way that we're to live our Christian life by faith. He says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, therefore, brethren, Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. That is, make sure you're saved. For as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. For in this way, that is living by faith and living a godly life, for in this way, please notice this, these words are very important for today, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. Heavenly Father, now bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our focal truth today is this really good news. Here's what we hear today. Now we're thinking about heaven today. We've all had our minds more than enough time of we've been thinking about the world, thinking about the earth and all of our cares and our worries. Now, church, I'm asking you for a little while, set your mind on things above. Set your mind on heaven. Think about the place, the promised place that you will experience and live in forever from age to age. Let's think about heaven. Let's practice some heavenly mindedness. If you practice heavenly mindedness, you'll do much better while you're on the earth, minding your earthly business. Here's the focal truth for today. Believers in heaven, when we enter into heaven, when we die, believers in heaven will be given new names and welcomed into heaven. Believers in heaven, when you enter heaven, you'll have a name change and you'll be welcomed as you experience that new name into heaven. Perhaps you've not thought about this in a long time. Maybe you're one of those who has the idea, I don't know how somebody gave it to you, that you think, well, you know, being a Christian, I'm just going to crawl into heaven. I'm just going to wash up on the shore like a survivor of a shipwreck. Somebody hasn't preached well to you. You haven't read your Bible well. There's no shipwrecks that barely get you into heaven. There's no clawing your way on the sand somehow fight your way on to the glories of heaven. No, you see, the day will come. I'm speaking of a real day. I'm speaking of a real day. A day will come. You don't know when it will be. I don't know when it will be for me. When I will die. I will physically die in this world, and instantly I will experience heaven. Because I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I put my confidence in Him, and I'm 100% certain that when I die today, I'm talking now personal testimony, that I will go to heaven. Can you say the same thing? You see, that's so important for you to settle here in this world. And so as we think about this today, I want to ask you this question. Have you ever wondered with your holy imagination, have you ever wondered what will happen when you enter heaven? What will you experience? What things will go on in your life? Well, we've seen some of the promises that the Lord has already given to these churches. Just go back a page in your Bible, Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Here's the promise. Whoever has an ear, let him hear. Here, listen, are you listening? Here's what the Spirit of God is saying to you. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. What did we hear? Another promise. In verse number 11 of chapter 2, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. One of our people was talking to me today and said, well, that means I died just like Adam died in my sins and I'm going to die again. No, you see, you're going to die once. You're going to die once either as a saved sinner or a lost sinner. You're going to die once, but then those who are saved, listen, you won't go to the lake of fire. You'll miss the second death. That's a great hallelujah. And then we saw last week, there are pleasures that you will experience in heaven that we cannot describe here. Those pleasures and joys are described in chapter 2, verse 17, when the Lord says, I will give some of the hidden manna. Some of the hidden manna. And I can't re-preach what I said last week. If you're interested, go back and you can listen to those things online at your convenience. What's it going to be like when you first enter heaven? What kind of an entrance will you have when you enter heaven? You see, this is quite an important question. Here on the earth, we believers were aliens and strangers. Look, the longer you live for Jesus, I'm going to just tell you now, you young people, the longer you live for Jesus, the more you're going to be an outsider. The more you're going to feel like this place just doesn't fit you. You're going to feel like the ideas and the concepts of people running around this world, they just are not true for you, because you've been taught differently. You know the Word of God. You know the truth of God. And you live for Jesus. So we who are believers in this world, we live as strangers and aliens. We experience a public ridicule and rejection and words. And sometimes many Christians and believers in some parts of the world actually are killed and they're incarcerated. They're ridiculed. They live in loneliness, a separation from their families because of their faith in Jesus, and they're treated with contemptful insignificance in the world. But believers in heaven experience a joyful welcome and a joyful, glorious, wonderful, encouraging entrance into heaven. That's what I want to talk to you about. And that's what's meant by these words of the Lord Jesus. I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. You see, these words that John is given from the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus is describing the indescribable realities of heaven. But how can we know what they are, my friends? We have to have things from the world to help somehow explain what these things mean. So we have these strange words. They seem strange. You mean I'm going to enter heaven and receive a white stone? Yes. With your name on it? Yes. And you'll only know the name? Yes. Well, what does that mean? Ah, I'm glad you asked. Let's talk about that. I have three observations for you today. Number one, because the Lord Jesus reigns today, because he is alive and coming again soon to this world, believer overcomers, that's what you are. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you're overcoming sin, you're growing in grace and knowledge, you're getting stronger in your faith, you're learning how to resist the devil here, you're becoming an overcomer, but there you've overcome. You've overcome the final enemy, death. You are alive forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. Believer overcomers in heaven will receive personal, please notice how I've underscored this, personal honor. The honor you receive in heaven will be personalized when you enter heaven. Secondly, because he reigns, believer overcomers in heaven will receive personal recognition. Personal recognition. And every one of us in our sinfulness like to be recognized, but now there will be a recognition for our godliness, our holiness, and our spirit and power of overcoming by the help of the Holy Spirit. And finally, because he reigns, believer overcomers in heaven will receive a personal welcome into heaven. Well, let's start with this. I will give him a white stone. Personal honor. We sometimes think about heaven when we all get to heaven. I love the song. When we all get to heaven. When we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing it will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. There's a personal side, however, to heaven. Because I have had a love, because I've had a love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth, the most important thing I desire in heaven is to see the Lord Jesus whom I love. What did Peter say? Though you have not seen him, you love him. Am I describing for you your Christian life today? I'm asking you this because it's very important. How can you say that you're a Christian if you don't love Jesus? I've been on this theme repeatedly. How can you say, I'm a Christian and you don't love Jesus? You don't really love Jesus' words. You're not interested in Jesus' lifestyle. You're not interested in what he promises. I mean, you're glad that now somehow you think that because you've had this experience with Jesus, well, you're on your way to heaven. When you get there, you're going to be sadly disappointed if you don't love Jesus. By the way, if you don't love Jesus now, you won't go to heaven when you die. You see, loving Jesus starts here. He warms my heart. He strengthens me. I walk with him by faith. I talk to him in my prayer life and talk to him in my relationship. I worship and honor and glorify him privately and publicly with all of my brothers and sisters. I love the Lord Jesus and I do what he says. You see, because I have this loving relationship, when I enter into heaven, when I breathe my last on the earth, and I experience that great immortal transformation in my life, and I am there with the Lord, well, all of a sudden, I meet him, and he gives me a stone. He gives me manna. He starts to, all the promises that he's given about heaven start to come to me, and I experience his presence, his glorious loving presence for me personally. He's doing this all at the same time for every believer who's going to heaven this very moment and this day and until all the days are finished. Are you listening? That is a glorious, unbelievable truth. The personal experience I have with the Lord Jesus is not just for me, it's for every believer simultaneously at the same time, eternally, until all of God's people are in heaven. This is quite an amazing thing. A white stone. All right, what is it? Well, John is incarcerated on the Isle of Patmos. Look it up sometime online and you'll see it wasn't a resort. The Isle of Patmos was not a resort with palm trees and places you can drink your cool drinks and in music. It was a terrible place. This is where they sent criminals basically to rot away and die, and hopefully they were dead. They'd clean up the carnage the Romans would and move on, put some other people out there. Caves in the side of a hill out on the sea, a miserable place. Well, John is in the Spirit. Now he is hearing from the Lord Jesus. And the Lord is making these promises to the churches. He wants them written down. I now stand as your preacher to speak to them to you in 2024. And so here we have these words, and notice he's speaking about this stone. Well, the Romans gave a small stone with the name engraved of an athlete who won a competitive event. This is an athletic award. So all the way through Roman history, whether it was, you know, the Olympics or some kind of a special, whether it was wrestling or racing or spear throwing, or there were other things involved in the ancient Olympics from Greece, but then Rome modified these things. At the end, those who won the contest were given a stone. And they were given the stone, and their name was engraved upon it, and it was for them. And that stone not only was the trophy they received, as well as a wreath on their head, recognizing them as the winner, just like we're overcomers in Jesus in heaven, and the crown of life is given to us. But this stone has a name, but only the one receiving it knows the name. It's a very special, personal thing. And this stone also allowed the athletes through the days ahead in Rome to go to the special events that were put on by the government. They could go to all the festivals. It was their pass. It was their permanent ticket to enjoy all of those kinds of occasions, royal occasions in Rome. Well, every believer in heaven will experience personal honor. You will receive the emblem, the picture. This is the picture. You'll receive, what is it? Personal honor. You won't be a stranger that someone has to check to see if you can get in. All of these crazy ideas that people have talked about. There's not a lack of awareness in heaven who's going to show up. There's not a surprise in heaven about what, did they really make it? There's no surprise, there's no shock in heaven about those who are coming. There is preparation. There is personal preparation, and there is personal honor. You see, every believer will receive their white stone. In essence, the Lord Jesus will be saying to you as you enter, well done. You'll be greeted as an overcomer. By the way, this doesn't cancel out that every one of us who are believers will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We will give account for the things that we've done as a believer. I want to remind you of that today. Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for, my Christian friend? Have you preoccupied, have you about killed yourself doing things in this world that have no eternal matter? Are the things you're investing the rest of your days on going to matter in heaven in relationship to those being saved or discipled? This is quite an important thing. This does not cancel out the fact that we will be giving an account before the Lord of how we've lived as believers. It will be, however, a personal welcome of honor. And because of this, number two, the believer overcomer receives personal recognition. I will give them a white stone and a name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. So all of a sudden, something's happening with my name. I'm being, as a believer, renamed. And now this is going to be hard for some of you. So I'll just use myself as an illustration. I'm Michael Don, D-O-N, Miller. My mother's maiden name is Kirkendall, and it's really hard to spell, and it's really weird, but it's Dutch. So all of my mother's Dutch side is in my veins, and my father and the Miller side is Scottish. Now you know what a weird person I am, Scotch and Dutch, with a little Cherokee thrown in on the side. That's why I'm so hard to get along with. But you have the same kind of heritage. You have all of these bloodlines flowing in to make you. Why, you may be so proud of yours that you've got coat of arms on your walls. You name things after your family. You're proud of your heritage. But I remind you that my name, Michael Don Miller, is the name I was given, born in Mercy Hospital in Oklahoma City lots of years ago, young people, lots of years ago, before the internet, lots of years ago, before cell phones. I know this is shocking. Long before there were computers, gasoline was about 15 cents a gallon. I know it's shocking to hear this. But you see, I was named Michael Don Miller, and there it was on my birth certificate. And for all of my days, I've been known as Michael Don Miller. I've been known as Michael Don Miller, the sinner. And at 9 years old, I realized I was a thief, I was a liar, I was disrespectful to my parents, and if I died, I was going to go to hell. I remember at nine, I remember it, and I wanted to be saved. And I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and was saved at nine. I wasn't perfect then. I still got in trouble. I still was disrespectful, but I was convicted about it, and I sought to grow in my relationship to the Lord. I'm still trying to do that. And some of you, I've been around here a long time. So you've seen me at my best. You've seen Michael Don Miller at his best, and you've seen me at my worst. I carry with me my family's heritage, but I also carry the sins of my family. I carry with me all that was a part of the Dutch and the Scottish background of my family. You see, my earthly name has in it, it's been desecrated by sin, and not only in my life, but in the life of my family. There's sinfulness in my family line. There's sinfulness in my family tree. I come from a line of sinners. My name is Miller, and I am a sinner. You see, earthly names speak of our earthly sinfulness. They speak of our name. I've said it to this church for years and years. When you become a Christian, you are a new person, but you have the same name. And so I am Michael Miller, born again. And so I pray to live by faith and follow Jesus all the days of my life until He determines. He has already set a day. I have a birthday and a death day. And it will come in my life, and I seek to honor Him until my very last breath. But then as soon as I go to that place, as soon as I breathe my last and I'm there in the glory of the Lord Jesus, and I receive, there's a personal recognition that happens, and I'm renamed as I enter heaven. Look, I'm using holy imagination here. I'm seeking to put together some things that I really believe the Word of God teaches, but you have to put these things together. They're not in certain place. What would it mean otherwise? I'm given a stone, a white stone, and my name's written on, and no one knows what my name is. It's personal recognition. It is an eternal name that is beyond imagination. The Lord renaming people who came into relationship with Him is nothing new in the Word of God. Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. Jacob, the snake, lying, conning, trickster, became Israel. Simon, the fisherman, became Peter. You see, name changing is a part of what God does. When I get to heaven, Miller goes away, but I have a name and you don't know what it is. Only the Lord Jesus and I know what my eternal, glorious new name will be. That is true for every believer I'm speaking to in this room. The Lord Jesus talked about sheep, and He said, a shepherd speaks to the sheep and they hear His voice. This is over in John 10. Most of you here know this. The Lord Jesus says the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, and the shepherd calls them by name. It's not going to be any surprise what your name is in heaven. It's not that God's going to have to have a council of all the angels and saints to determine what your name will be, and they'll get back to you. As soon as you enter into heaven, your new name will be given to you, and you will know it, and the Lord will know it. It will be your secret, personal, eternal name from the Lord Jesus Christ. A specific new name reserved for you in heaven. A specific secret new name given to you personally by the Lord Jesus. A specific eternal new name and an eternally significant name. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 at the very end, after he's talked about love, the greatest of these is love. He says, for now we see in a mirror dimly, But then face to face, now I know in part, but listen, now this is an amazing statement. I'm trying to talk to you about heaven today. This is very unfamiliar to us. Listen, the Word of God says, 1 Corinthians 13:12, but then I shall know as I have also been known. There's not anything about you today that the Lord Jesus does not already know. He knows you as an overcomer. He knows the circumstances that you yet will deal with. He knows and He is preparing a place. Preparation in heaven has to do with personal receiving of those experiences. That's why it's important for us all to know that when we step into glory, when we awake in eternal glory of heaven, there is personal honor, personal recognition, but oh, wait a minute, there's personal welcome into heaven. Let's talk about this for a minute. Now go over with me and look at 2 Peter 1, verse 11 again. In this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. You see, believers in heaven, there's a place reserved for us. Peter said that in 1 Peter 1:4. As a result of being saved by the grace of God, you have hope, and there is a place reserved for you. Everybody in here loves it. Why, you even have a little bit of pride when you get the reserved seats at the special event. You love it when you pass by all of those other minions and you get to drive into the special reserved parking where they have the attendants with their white gloves on to usher you into your special reserved seat. You see, heaven is a place reserved for believers, reserved for those who are overcomers. You're going to the place where they're not prepared. You're going to the place where they're prepared for you to come, and the Lord Jesus is prepared to welcome you. You see, this is what He says. The entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior will be abundantly supplied to you because you have lived a life of godliness. Verse 10, because you have made certain that you are saved and you're living for the Lord, He will prepare a place for you. How can I do it better to describe it? But let Mr. Bunyan, the writer, our poet friend, Mr. Bunyan from Pilgrim's Progress. If you're in this church and you've not read Pilgrim's Progress, I want to say to you as your pastor, you ought to read it to your children. You ought to read it for yourself, because Mr. Bunyan, the old Baptist preacher from way back, years and years and years ago, hundreds of years ago, wrote these wonderful words as a simple little story about what he dreamed heaven would be like. Now we read, I'm going to read it to you. I want you to listen to the story of Christian. After all Pilgrim went through and became Christian, and the burdens fell off of his back when he saw the cross and rolled into the tomb. Now he went through all of those things he went through on his way to heaven. Now we meet Christian about to enter heaven. While they were thus drawing towards the gate of the heavenly city, a company of heavenly hosts came to meet them. The heavenly hosts gave a great shout, saying, "Blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." There came also to meet them trumpeters from the king, who with melodious noises and loud made the heavens echo with their sound. These trumpeters saluted Christian with 10,000 welcomes. This done, they surrounded Christian on every side, in the front, some behind, some to the right, some to the left, continually shouting as they went with melodious noise in notes on high, so that the very sight was to them as if all of heaven had come to meet them at the gates. As they went in at the gate, they were transfigured, and they had raiment put on them that shone like gold. And there were also those who met them with harps and crowns and gave them to them so that they might sing praise, and crowns to give them as tokens of honor. Then I heard in my dreams that all the bells of the city of heaven rang again for joy, and that it was said to them, Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what's coming for all of us. When we say goodbye to this sinful world of woe and pain and enter into the glorious gates, meeting our Lord with shouts of hallelujahs and trumpets blowing, because another overcomer has entered into the gates and into the city of God. Praise the Lord for that day. Now, what do we remember as we go today? Number one, heaven. Now, I'm giving you a long statement here. But I'm not here to try to entertain you and give you little tricky thoughts. I'm going to give you something to think about here. And I want you to think about it. You want to be heavenly minded? Well, let me tell you something about your personal experience of heaven. Number one, heaven is a believer's eternal, personal experience of delightful pleasure, a personal experience of delightful joy, of significance, personal significance and love for the Lord Jesus Christ and from Him. You see, you're going to experience eternal pleasure in heaven like you cannot imagine here. And it's not pleasure, sinful pleasure, it's holy pleasure. Go back and think about what we looked at last week when we talked about the pleasures of heaven given to us from the hidden manna that the Lord will give to us. Secondly, heaven is for all of us when we all get to heaven. You see, I'll be known by my own name, heavenly name, and I'll be among all of those who have their own heavenly name, and only the Lord and I know my name. Only the Lord and you know your name. You see, that makes heaven very personal. That makes it something we join together, and there the focus is on our enjoyment of an eternal experience of being with God. How can I describe what is indescribable? How can I describe in temporal terms, in our human finite ability with our words, that which is beyond our imagination? But we will experience it, and it will be beyond anything we've ever thought of. Eye has not seen it, ears not heard it. It's never entered into our heart. All the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. This is what's coming. This is what's coming forever. This is what's coming. This is important for us to remember, because it is an eternal corporate experience. You see, that's why we go to church together. You know, sometimes a fellow told me one time, I just can't hardly go up there with all those church people. I'll just worship God on my own. Well, you know, God made us to be together. God made us to be a body of believers. God made us to do our work together. God made us, we just sung together. The choir helped us. We all were singing together. This hour, last hour, we do this every week. The people of God sing together and we hear the word of God together. We do these things together. We do them with one another. We don't have this private kind of relationship with God without others. No, it's personal in heaven, but it is gloriously corporate. We all get to heaven and we celebrate and we praise God. You see, the Lord Jesus tried to give us an understanding as He spoke with God the Father in John 17. This is eternal life. Now, He describes eternal life. This is eternal life. John 17:3. Are you listening to me now? Here's eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one whom you've sent. Eternal life is knowing God. And knowing God, and knowing God, and knowing God. Oh, the vastness, the depths, the immeasurable magnitude, the immensity of the Lord and who He is in all of His character and nature. He is the eternal God who will be known for eternity. And what did the Lord pray at the end of His prayer? This is for you if you're a believer, whatever your circumstances today. The Lord said in John 17:24, Father, I want these whom you've given me to be where I am. You see, the Lord wants you to be with Him in heaven. If you're a believer, the Lord wants you to be with Him in heaven. Lord, He said, I want these whom you've given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. You see, believers, when they die here, instantly experience from that point on forever and ever, joyful honor and recognition as overcomers in the presence of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us and made a way for us so that we might live for Him. Set your mind on things above. I'm trying to talk to you about something that will bore you from all of your sports thinking. I'm trying to talk to you about something that will bore you about all of your political worries in these days. I'm trying to talk to you about something that will bore you from all of the drivel and worrisome things, the routines and monotony of this old world that will one day be rolled up like an old coat and thrown aside, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. We pray, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Look, one day you're really going to hear these words if you're a believer. Are you listening? You say, Pastor Mike, what will Jesus say to me? You ready? He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Listen. Enter in to the joy of your Father. Did you know heaven is a really joyful place? Did you know heaven will never be a boring place? Did you know that heaven is the place where there is eternal happiness and joy beyond our imagination? Look, when you get to heaven, you get to be around the joyfulness of God. I want you to think about that for a moment. Enter into the joy of my Father. And you know where the joy of God begins? When we repent of our sins, we experience seeing and experiencing, though we can't hear it, the joy of the Father over our repentance and coming to Jesus. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than on 99 righteous who do not need repentance. Can you hear it? Look, can you hear it? There's joyful singing. It's just beyond this world. It's glorious, joyful times with no tears and no sadness. It is in the company of those who've lived their lives just like we have to overcome sin and seek to live for God. Can you imagine what it will be like to be with all of those who are fellow saints from all the ages who have lived by faith just as you have lived by faith, and for us to be with the Lord Jesus? Oh, what a day that will be. Glory for me. What a day that will be. And so that's why we set our minds on heaven and remember the Lord's promise. He who has an ear to hear, now are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit, not Pastor Mike? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him, Jesus says, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. To the praise of the glory of his grace, the Lord is near to the door, and we pray, come, Lord Jesus.